You know, so this morning is such a precious time, and even just the worship and what we sung about and what God has been doing is just so in line with the word that I want to bring. You know, just the fact that people are feeling heavy and so on is been a week, right? We've seen the world having a week. South Africa on the main stage with a whole discussion and everything, and lots of memes and thoughts and plans and stuff flying around. And you know, as we prayed this morning for the service, just that picture of that hen and the chicks. Just want to say to you that God has not abandoned us. He's not walked away from us. The world is interesting, and there's, you know, the leaders discuss stuff and talk about stuff, and but our God is still in control. He's still God. He's still Almighty God. He has not lost control. So imagine my surprise when God started speaking to me this week, and I can tell you, we had a week of note. So the Wilsons started this, where their kitchen flooded. And then Tuesday when Laurette got home and she walked into the house, and there was water in the lounge. And, you know, she's thinking, okay, you know, geyser burst, you know, terrible. Walks into the room, put out shoes and walks into our room. And as the further she walks, she realized this is not a geyser. So Tuesday rained, right? You remember the rain on Tuesday, 20 millimeters according to my rain meter. And then by the time she got to the bathroom, she realized this is sewage water. So our entire bathroom, entrekamer, everything looked like a dam. And so you can imagine, we had a nice week. This has been amazing. To walk in and see everything just standing in that water. And again, if it was a geyser, I would have gone, okay, you should come visit now. A couple of days later, it greets you as you walk into the house, that smell. You know, it's just like, welcome home. We've moved in. Hope you will enjoy your stay. So praise the Lord for insurance. We are currently in a self-catering unit. But our week was turned upside down. And nothing else many of you, they've gone through stuff. This is just me and Laurette. I can tell some other stories of what's happening with other people in the church, but we had an interesting week. So our lives are disrupted. We're living in a place that's not our own. We are commuting between the house and so on, trying to sort out some stuff, and we are having fun. We okay, man. We okay. Young. You know, if you've noticed, life happens. Life is lifing. Thank you, Lola. We're going to, So, like I said, imagine my surprise when this was not on Tuesday. It was actually before this that God started speaking to me about this. But renew through testing. All right. So, I'm so sorry this morning. I will understand. Renew through testing. You know, we've been talking about our scripture, right? Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings like eagles. They shall run and not get faint. This is what God is saying to us. And it's in a year again where there's lots happening on the international front. There's lots happening at home front. And that waiting on God, that being continually in His presence, that making sure that that's where you find yourself, in the very presence of God, so that your strength can be renewed, so that you are able to run, that you won't get weak, that you won't get weary, that you can just go for it. But it starts with the waiting. It starts with that place, that intimate, deep place with God. You know, we had the pause app earlier this year, and I don't know how many of you that kind of helped just to get that routine back of spending time with God. But I want to say to you, if life has been lifing you out of a quiet time now, then fix that one. Fix your intimate, deep relationship. I'm not talking about a quick 5-minute thing. You know, start with 5 minutes if you're not in that habit, but I want to encourage you to go for 30 minutes or an hour to make time for God, to sit with Him, to sit with the Word, to worship Him, to wait on Him. So when the pawpaw hits the fan, you're able to run. You can walk. You do not faint. You do not become weary. Because life apparently keeps on lifing. This side of heaven, yeah. It's interesting. I must just say this that happened this week is in the midst of a few other things that's been going on in our lives. So it wasn't an isolated event. It was kind of now this, I've now got a shoulder. Because of, I had to dig up the sewage on Friday and Saturday, and me and the boys had to fix it and repair it because the insurance doesn't pay for that. Fortunately, I've got some knowledge in this area. I tell you what, my body is saying, is jy gesyp? What are you doing? And we've got clay and coffee clip. Do you know what coffee clip is? It's a vieslike ding to dig that thing. Fortunately, praise Jesus, it's been raining. So everything was soft. Yesterday when they were digging in for this new section of stormwater we had to put in because of this, they hit the clay. We almost had a clay lot fight there, but it was, we didn't do that. We should have done it. So this picture represents, I mean, you all would know, you know, your car gets tested quite hectically to make sure it's safe, to make sure that you can use it. I'm always surprised. Okay, so I'm a bit technical and I understand a few of these things, but I'm always so surprised when someone drives their car and you know, and there's a bit of gravel or maybe a bit of water and they go like, whoa, you know. If they hit a gravel road, it's like, you know, my car's going to fall apart if I go too fast. I don't think you understand the level of testing that your vehicle goes through to be able to handle pretty much anything you can throw at it. It's when a rally driver gets in and that's when it gets a bit funky. It's not prepared for a rally driver. But I can tell you, anything that you use your car, don't use your little Polo now for a 4x4. That's not what I'm saying. Okay? Don't follow my Hilux when you're in your Polo because you... All right? But there's lots of testing that happened. And I'm sure, as we sit here this morning, who of you actually love tests? You know, you love preparing for a test and to write it and yeah, that night before it, I mean, you're just getting in that stuff. I mean, weeks on end, you're sitting there with your papers prepared. Who loves that? Because we'll ask you to leave. Fortunately, there's no hands raised here this morning. So can I confidently say we hate tests? Okay, then I'm in good company. Praise the Here. If I was better at tests, now I would have probably been an architect or something, but not. But few people like tests. Okay, in this case, nobody likes tests. Okay, none of us like preparing for them. None of us like doing them. Yet they had a very specific purpose for which they are designed. So. Tests, as I thought of this, tests will determine your understanding of the material and whether you are ready to qualify for the next. So if you don't, you know, if you just think you go to university, well, if you make it to university, but let's say you get to university, you've been good at your test, you've studied, you do your thing, but it doesn't stop when you get there. You can't go to second year if you don't qualify and get everything done for first year. So it tests your knowledge of the stuff that you have been learning. It's also helpful to an instructor to know whether you are ready. Because they would test your understanding, so have they been teaching you right? Is there maybe something that they should focus on a bit more, you know, give more attention, so that they can prepare you to step into the next phase of where you're actually going. When I used to do plumbing, now it's obviously very practical, so it's not... that I sit in a class necessarily, except when I did my N1, N2, and N3. But in the practical side, you have to manufacture something, whether it's out of sheet metal or whatever. But the fact is, there's a point where the instructor or the professional person comes and he inspects your work. And one, he will give you advice on what to change or do better next time. But if he takes your thing and goes like, this is rubbish, at least you know you didn't make the cut. You know, this is a piece of junk, which I've done. I've made those things as an apprentice when I started, because no one starts out making it the first time. When you learn to make stuff, or when you step into a certain arena, you're not a professional as you start. So we're on this journey of learning, aren't we? In this case, a test will test the quality, the purposed intention, or the strength and the durability of a product. Now, I can tell you, having that car ram into that wall is not fun for the car. But it gives those that are busy, the engineers and so on, working on us, a lot of information about what's happening, what they need to change. And maybe I'm going to shock you this morning, but if you read scripture, if you study the Bible at any time, you will realize that there's a lot of testing going on in scripture. There's a lot of places that God actually works with his people and then he tests them. Yet as we sit here this morning, you're probably thinking, where's the door? Because if I say to you, if God comes to you and my life and he tests us, there's actually a good purpose for that. And there's a nice story that we read about in Genesis 22, verse 1 to 3. And let's read that. It says, sometime later, God tested Abraham's faith. He did what? He tested what? His faith. So if Abraham went through this, if God was willing to test Abraham's faith, how much more us? As we sit here this morning, it's not something that I think we think of often. That's something that I don't think we want to go through, okay? God called. Abraham, God called. Yes, he replied. Here I am. Love that response. Just like, if you think of God just coming into your life and just calling to you, the response, the proper response is, here I am. Don't keep quiet. And then God continues, he says, take your son, your only son, yes, Isaac, whom you love so much, and go to the land of Moriah, and go and sacrifice him as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will show you. Now let's imagine this. Let's imagine our culture was still making offerings to God, the God that we serve. And then God comes to a man and says, listen, take your son. Now, if I were coming to you for good advice, counsel, good counsel, you need to speak into my life now. I believe I've heard God. God is saying I must go offer up Jemuel to him. What would you say to me? Nicobus, that was the pizza champ. That's not the Lord speaking. So the first thing I want you to see is that, but Abraham knew God's voice. He was waiting on him. He was intimate with him. So when God spoke, he knew it wasn't the pizza. I don't think they ate pizza that time. Whatever they eat. In any case. All right? So he hears and he goes, And God says, I will even show you where you need to go. So it's not just like God spoke and then left him to his own devices to figure this out. You would have heard me say this in the past already, but I do think there's sometimes that we as Christians, we are quite happy to settle for vague answers from God. But if I read scripture, God is often very detailed in the instructions that he gives to those who follow him. So I want to tell you, go wait on him so that he can tell you what to do. And look at this. The next morning, so it's not a week later, God spoke, Abram obeys. The next morning, Abram got up early. Het nie laat geslaap nie. Saddled his donkey and took two of his servants with him, along with his son Isaac. Then he chopped wood for the fire, for a burnt offering, and set out to the place God had told him about. And then verse 9. When they had arrived at the place where God had told him to go, Abram built an altar. Wasn't ready there, he had to still build it, okay? And arranged the wood on it. Then he tied his son. Now, if I was the son, this is now when I really would have got worried. So his father ties ties up his son, Isaac, and lay him on an altar on top of the wood. And Abram picked up the knife to kill his son as a sacrifice. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. Abram, Abram. Yes, Abram replied. I'm sure he was like, whew. Here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy, the angel said. Do not hurt him in any way, for now I know that you truly fear God. You have not withheld from me even your son, your only son. What was this test about? Abram's faith. This test was about his faith. What a test this is. So Abram didn't get to the altar, put his son on there and kind of went, so maybe, you know, other provision. He took the knife and he was resolved to kill his son as an offering to the God that he served. The God whom he worships. Knowing probably full well that if he does go through with this, God's promise will remain. And God's promise was, you will have children as the stars of the heaven and the sand on the sea. Does this make sense when you follow God and he gives you an instruction which seems weird, but then continue it only to see God still fulfilling his promise? We are a result of the promises of God to this man. You and I are here because this man obeyed God. He's the father of our faith. The man who chose to follow God in something that seemingly was crazy. I'm not sure whether I would have passed this test. What a hectic test of his faith it is. And it makes me think of myself and of you. In our walk with God, we often just want things to be honky-dory. No trials, no nothing going on. We just want to kind of ride through this easy-peasy. But God tests our faith. Now, I know this morning, this is not one of those hop, skip, and jump messages. But I want you to also see God's part in your life where He does things in your life, allows things in your life to test your faith, to help you grow, to see where they are ready for the next level, the next thing that He is calling you to. But I can tell you this much, it starts with answering God's call. When hearing God, when He says, Abram, and you answer. Often when we respond to God's call, it will lead us to a time of testing. I remember when we were living in Potchefstroom, and God showed me in a dream that we must move down to Cape Town. And this is now, I think, 28 years ago. And so God spoke, right? So I'm like, yay, going to Cape Town. Rooties and liquor, you know, ocean. It's just going to be like amazing. So we obey. We move down. We get here. And I'm all ears. I just want to, I mean, God's just going to do some crazy stuff. One of the things that God said to us at the time is, Kobus, I'm sending you down. I'm going to prepare you and then I'm going to release you. Because I knew I was called to ministry, right? So this is the word of the Lord. I mean, I'm excited. So we moved down to Cape Town. Now, if you know anything, the biggest difference between Cape Town and upcountry is they actually have houses there. Not the pondokie-sized stuff that most of Cape Town has to live in here. So we move with all our stuff into this pondokie. The second bedroom was boxes and stuff, and it was crazy. And it was, I mean, our lounge suite was so big that if you sat on the two opposite to one another, your knees almost touched. So we moved out. Any case, long story short, I was without work for 6 months. So Rolf, my man, been there, done that. I didn't do a year and a half, so you win. Okay, so you win. And I hit Moedverloorse vlakte. I went and turned there myself. And one of my biggest battles with God is, but you said I must go. But it was in the midst of that, that something met and I met God, something changed and I met God in a way that I didn't know him before that. In that, in a moment there, when everything was, there was no money, no nothing, we were broke. Lorette was working, her salary paid, not even our rent. Well, paid the rent. We couldn't, because the day we left, Potch, the sale of our home fell through. So we had that bond, which at that stage was 23% interest, by the way. And we got here, we had to pay rent, we have to pay that, and we have to live, and so on. And in that place, I actually went to the, what kicked it off was I tried to draw money, 20 rand to buy bread, and the thing said, you've got insufficient funds. And I went home, I was upset with God. I'm now like, you said I must come. So I had a great story with the Lord, but eventually when I sat still, I got, God just said to me, Kobus, what is your source, me or that teller? And that day, if it wasn't for that test, I wouldn't have got to know God as Jehovah Jireh in the way that I know him now. Because in that moment, my dependence shifted from my bank account to him, well, my lack of a bank account, to a God who can supply. And you tell you, since then, we've seen him move as Jehovah Jireh in our lives in most incredible ways. Because I know him as such right now. But it starts with your response to the call, which will lead to the testing, most probably. That is not something we want to hear this morning, but I want to tell you that God is a jealous God, and he's jealous for your love, your attention, for your devotion towards him in ways that you don't realize. And I guess we have a choice whether we're going to embrace what God wants to do or whether we're going to reject it. You see, when God comes into our lives, there's a few things that he tests. He firstly tests your faith in him. He tests your trust. He tests your determination and the level of your obedience to him. Are you fully trusting him with whatever you are going through? Are you going to trust him beyond what your reality says? My determination to reject all other voices and listen to his voice alone. He tests your devotion and your loyalty to him. He checks whether there's idols in your life. Because often a test will reveal an idol in your life or something that is very slowly crept above him in your life. And then he deals with that thing in your life. He tests you and me to see whether we are ready for what follows. Now I know we are fully aware that we have an enemy of our souls, right? That always wants to mess up our lives. But I want to say to you, even when the devil comes with these trials that he pours on you, do not underestimate what God will do with that. The fact that the devil is on your case is maybe a good thing. Because hopefully you're really doing something right and you're pursuing God in a very real way. But there's a scripture that says God makes all things work together for the good for those who love him. It doesn't say some things. So even when the devil is on your case, he will make all things work together for the good of those who love him. But again, that even speaks into my faith. When I go through these trials, when I go through these difficult times, I have to cling to a God who is my source. And we know, if you've probably heard this before, but faith, purification of faith is often likened to, you know, that gold that's get purified. And we love gold. Most of you are wearing gold, unless you're allergic to it, I guess. But the purification process of gold is when you know, they put it in the fridge. No. They take the gold, they make a big fire. And they shove the gold in there to what? Melt it. Because only when it's in that heated moment can the rubbish come up. And you know that they will continue removing the dross or whatever you call it from the until the smith can see his face in it. Come on. If the only purpose of a trial or a testing in my life is for God to see him in me, I'm happy. Well, happy. I'll be willing to submit to the fire. 1 Peter 1 verse 7 says this. These trials, oh, caramba. Why does the scripture have this? These trials will show that your faith is genuine. What will trials do? It will show you your faith is genuine. Just like when I met God as Jehovah Jireh, I was in a trial. I faced a very big reality that I am broke. I'm beyond broke. Okay? It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. Just hear that? Your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. Our faith and the testing of our faith has purpose. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow in this world. But I pray that when our faith gets tested, that we will stand. That we will be the people who are strong, courageous, that it does not get fazed about the news and the stuff, but we will remain a people of faith, strong in God, calling those things that are not as though they were by the power of God, being those that are more than conquerors, not being swayed about the opinions and the things that is going on right now. Proverbs 17:3 says, fire tests and purify, test the purity of silver and gold, but God tests the heart. What does this test do? It tests the heart. What is your heart? What is my heart beating for? What am I longing for? What is at the center and the core of who I am? These trials and these tests test the very thing that I am about. James 1 verse 2 verse 2 4 says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind, it says any kind, right? Troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great sorrow. Groot pity party. Feeling sorry for myself. No, it doesn't say that. It says great joy. My house is flooded. Yay! I'm going to put up some balloons and invite you over. Come experience it with us. It's beautiful.
Is it okay if we decline?
Near Paul, you must be there. You can feel my pain, bro. You can feel my pain, man. I've got great joy. I'm getting new carpets. New skirtings. Some new cupboards. Yeah. I'm getting to stay in a place that I'm not paying for. Wow, come on. Great joy. Ah, caramba. For you know, then when your faith is tested, ah, come on, your endurance has changed and grown. So let it grow. So what? So let it grow. For when endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. This scripture, I tell you, this thing, this doesn't matter what translation you read in this. This scripture has helped me through many things. Because it just puts in perspective what a trial and a test does in my life. It allows God to work, to purify, to clean me out of the nonsense. Is that a word? Of the stench of my stinking thinking. Because I'm only preaching for myself here this morning. You guys are all sorted. I had a week, man. I had a week. All right. If you go read scripture, and you look at the men and women that God took and did most incredible things with, go look for the test. He tested every one of their faith. He put them in scenarios and places where God tested their faith. And when they choose to believe God, when they choose to cling to God, despite the very circumstances they were, the nasty stuff that was going on, God powerfully used them. I want to tell you that God wants to powerfully use you. Just pass the test of your faith. These guys in scripture, they delivered peoples and nations. They conquered kings and empires. They overcame insurmountable obstacles and situations. Just think of our brother Job, who lost literally everything. It's not a test I want to write. But God used that to show forth His glory and His power, not just to the people that knew Job, but to the heavenlies, to the devil himself. God showed forth His glory. Why would we then not embrace the tests that God puts on our ways? Rolf just wrote a big test. A year and a half test. That's a long time to write an exam, broer. But I'm sure you know God differently now than when it started, right? If I give you the mic now, we'll probably sit here till tonight because you're going to tell us of everything that God has not just done in you, but your family as well. The revelation, the journey with God is real. And so, it's probably true of each one of us sitting here this morning. But we need to allow God to renew us even through testing. You see, when we say, you know, my strength will be renewed, we just think it's like, hey, hoppa, it's done. Just wait on God. The true value of the testing is that, you know, when you take the word test in the Old and the New Testament, it is translated to say prove by trial. Okay? But what is God really trying to test? When He gives us a test, that test will prove to you and me that our faith is real. Because when I walk with God and He shows Himself powerful on my behalf, I know He's real. And there's lots of testimonies in this church that we can get into now. You see, God does not have to prove to Himself that your faith is real. It's a journey to show you that your faith and your trust and your passion and your resolve to serve Him is real. That even if you go through the deepest valleys or anything, He is there, He's with you. And then we have the guy, you know, the Bible has some interesting folks in there. One of them is in this case, I guess, pretty crazy because David actually invited God to test him. You want to pray a dangerous prayer? Do the David style. Okay, Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Test my heart and my mind. What David is saying here, test everything. See if I make the crash and get on with it. Test my life, God. Get into my life. Get right there to the root of the thing. Take out the stuff that is not pleasing to you. This man is described as a man after God's own heart. But he was willing to allow God to test him. This is not a prayer that you pray every morning, is it? Psalm 139 verse 23 to 24, it says, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Come on. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me to the way of everlasting. Test me, God. Test me. Test my thoughts, my anxious. Is there stuff that I'm worried about that I should not be worried about because we know you're going to supply. You're going to lead us into a conquering, overcoming situation. That's what we believe. You are only as strong as your last test.
I agree.
Thank you. Just think of this. You are only as strong as the last exam that you passed. You and I are only as strong as the last test that we went through. And in order for God to get me to where He wants me, there will be testing. But what a test certainly does is when I go through it, it renews my strength. Oh, it strengthens my belief in God and who He is. I guess the question is, will we allow God to test us? Because we always, in the time of testing, we always have one of two choices. And trust me, there's just one of two. It's either you run to God or you run away from Him. Okay, maybe the third one, if I look at Scripture, where you become cold. And you're lukewarm. You know, she's not sure what's happening here. You are only as strong as your last test. And I can tell you one thing. If God tests us, I want to tell you that you are ready for it. He's prepared you for it. And He knows you can do it. You know, when we write a test, it's only when we're done that we know we actually got it. I mean, hello? How many of you went to sit in front of a test paper? Sweetheart, you can come minister to us. Now, when you sit down, you're like, whew, I don't know if I'm going to make this. Don't know if I've prepared well enough. I don't know if I've put in enough work to make this one. I was busy with my N4 while I was in the army. And, I actually just kind of enrolled to get sleepy out pass, okay? So that I don't have to sleep in the camp because it's army man who wants to be there. So I enrolled for this, and the first module that I did was maths. Now maths, if you know me, is my strong suit, man. You see, I'm amazing with maths. Right. Yeah, sat in the classes, night classes. Now, so now I'm in the army, and then after army I have to go back and sit in the college. Doing my N4, listening to this guy, going through all this work and everything. And semester is 3 months. So get to the end of it. And what follows now? A test. Anyways, so I go through my stuff. I'm ready. I'm going to do this. And I arrive and I sit in the class. And this guy starts handing out the papers like, you know, they do. They hand out the papers. And I get this thing and I'm like, am I in the right place? This is a true story. I'm looking at this thing, I'm like, yeah, well, it's the right description, it's the right code. Shucks. So So now I'm freaked out already. I haven't even opened this thing and I'm already freaked out now. I'm like, ooh, caramba. So he says, start. And I open this paper. And I look at the first page and I'm like, nope. Turn it around. I'm like, nope. We didn't do any of this. None of it. No, I know. Oh, I know this one. Quickly fold it in. And I was at the end. And I realized there's no point in staying here. If I was there 10 minutes, it was long. By that 10 minutes, I was in my chops. And I was like, okay, so I'm failing in four maths today. In any case, I went and I handed in my paper. I can honestly tell you, I didn't even go back for the results. There was no point. So I failed that test. I do not have N4 maths behind my name currently. I have an experience on what it is like to mess up a test royally. How not to prepare for a test, okay? Let's stand. And then I'm going to close this for us.